Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Three Martini Lunch. It's the Wednesday edition, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, our table's just full of glasses. We don't actually have three martinis or necessarily even three drinks today. We're just going to kind of talk about what happened at the town hall debate at Hofstra University last night. The polls suggest, the snap polls anyway, that President Obama won by a small margin, but if you break down it issue by issue, it looks like Mitt Romney won on the critical issues, won the economy by quite a bit, won a little bit on health care, definitely did better than Obama on the deficit. And I thought Romney's probably best moment of the night was when the gentleman asked the question to President Obama, "I voted for you last time, but I'm not feeling it this time. Tell me why I should vote for you again." Obama kind of stumbled through his answer, and Romney just went up there point by point, very patient, explained statistic by statistic, example after example of why the president's stewardship of this economy has been a miserable failure. And I think that's probably why he got the better of the president in some of those polling examples after the debate. And so while it wasn't obviously a dominant performance for Romney, I think he did okay, and he certainly scored on issues like that.
Yeah, I came out of it a little disappointed in that I feel like just Romney missed a bunch of opportunities to really take it to Obama, and it could have turned what it turned into. I think it was, you know, largely a draw, maybe a marginal Obama victory, and turned into a much more solid victory for Romney. I don't think he lost too much ground. I don't expect the polls to shift very much. And we can talk about the moderation in a little bit. But the fact that Romney did so well on the sections about the economy, and by the way, a lot of those came early on in the debate. It was the college student named Jeremy who said that he, you know, basically, I think Jeremy wanted to get hired by one of the two men on stage. He was hoping for a job either in the White House or with Bain. Romney talked about how much he knew how to turn his experience in business, his experience in creating jobs, how he knows how to do this. Whereas Obama talked about all the great factory jobs that Jeremy would have waiting for him after graduation. Kind of a strange answer there. I think Romney started strong and then weaker as the night went on. And I think Obama got better as the night went on. It was certainly more pugnacious. Democrats are you know, cheering and high-fiving this morning, but they also thought Biden did terrific. And I think there's, you know, no evidence that Biden did much good for their cause. So if you were the Andrew Sullivan level suicidal despondency after the last debate, sure, you're feeling better about this one. Obama had a pulse in this one. I don't think there's been a dramatic change. Having said that, for those of us who really started to see, you know, some flashes of greatness in Romney last time, this was he was a little off his game, was not as strong as he could have been. I missed a couple opportunities.
One of the biggest ones, of course, and he'll have a chance to rectify this next Monday, is the Libya question that came up in the last half hour. The president had no interest in talking about it, moved on to talking about pulling the troops out of Iraq within about the first 30 seconds. Romney came back and tried to explain how the administration's message, regardless of who got the security memo or not, the administration put out a false narrative for a long time. He kind of got lost in the weeds a little bit when he tried to parse the president's statement from September 12th in the Rose Garden. I think his instinct was good because the president claimed last night that he called it a terror attack then, which would give even less credibility to the video narrative. But then Romney kind of got gummed up in the works, and Candy Crowley certainly didn't help there. And Romney, in that situation and elsewhere, made the mistake a couple of times of asking the president questions, which the president then took to eat into Romney's time. So there were a couple of areas certainly there where Mitt could have done better, and I think if he had it to do over, he would have done better.
Yeah, the Libya exchange was the single most disappointing, and you might even argue damaging, exchange for Romney. And one of the things is that, look, he's right on the facts. He's got a strong case to make here. And Obama really seemed to think he could defuse it with his, you know, "How dare you, you know, question, you know, accuse us of misleading the American public on this." The problem is Romney got down to the weeds of the Rose Garden statement. Obama did use the word terror once, right towards the end, in a generic form of saying no act of terror will, you know, make this country cower in fear, yada, yada, yada. He also talks about, "We reject all efforts to denigrate the religious beliefs of others," which is clearly referring to the YouTube video that you know, the administration was attributing to that. It's kind of egregious to let things get focused down on that one item when there is 8 or 9 days of Obama on The View, Obama in the Univision debate, all the statements from Carney, the 5 appearances from Susan Rice. You know, Romney could have pointed to all of that and said, "Look, you guys kept citing the YouTube video." When in fact, we now know from media reports and leaks that the intelligence was saying it was a terror attack from day one. if he had just done that, oh, you know, I think that might have, you know, slammed the door shut on this election. I really think, you know, Romney had it. Instead, he got into what did he use in that statement. And then Candy Crowley, who I kind of wanted to give the benefit of the doubt to, made probably the single dumbest and most inexcusable decision by any debate moderator in history, which is that she corrected, you know, Mitt Romney when she's basically characterizing this one offhand statement right at the, you know, sentence at the end as saying Obama did characterize it as a terrorist attack. False. And then afterwards on CNN, she says, well, you know, Romney had the gist right, but he didn't have the, you know, there's one word that was wrong. That's absolutely totally inexcusable. I don't know if I join the chorus of folks calling for Candy Crowley's head. For her to play fact checker while that's going on and not having it right in front of her and going on memory is just inexcusable. The audience applauding is inexcusable, which is also in violation of debate rules. I've never been a huge fan of this town hall format, and I think that this is a one more strong argument against it. And I think Crowley comes out of this with a serious black eye to her reputation, because she openly said she was going to take this bolder, more intrusive role as a moderator. And if you're going to play fact checker, well, then by golly, you got to have your facts correct. You don't come out and say that unless you have the transcript right in front of you. And the idea, the only silver lining for this, for the Romney campaign, is that now people can go back to that Rose Garden statement and come to, when they look at it seriously, they're going to say, well, look, yeah, there's this one sentence at the end where it uses the word terror, but overall, that general consensus of that statement is, we reject all efforts to denigrate the religious beliefs of others, but there's no excuse for actions like this, yada, yada. I mean, clearly, they were treating it like it was a similar circumstance to Cairo, and it was a protest over the YouTube video. So this issue may end up hurting Obama down the road, but I just feel like last night, Mitt did not handle it well, Crowley handled it egregiously, and Obama was shameless in his, say that a little louder, Candy, in all that stuff. Obama is totally, totally convinced he's going to get away with this. And I think Romney's got to take it to him on Monday night's debate.
And you delve into another interesting aspect of this, because if you go back to Denver, the president was basically all night long, just in that the deeper voice without much inflection whatsoever. Last night, he was in that kind of sarcastic, high-pitched version of his voice that he uses in his rallies to fire up the base in his acerbic attacks on Mitt Romney and so forth. You saw kind of, certainly on Fox, I don't know about the other networks afterwards, where the women did not appreciate that at all. They maybe didn't appreciate the whole confrontational aspect of the entire debate. But I think that aspect of Obama, with his likability being the only thing that's really left to appeal to people, didn't help himself there. And hopefully that will manifest itself in some poll numbers. It seemed to manifest itself a little bit in some of the focus groups on both MSNBC and Fox after the debate.
Yeah, CNN always has these instant dial poll reactions, and you can watch the lines at the bottom of the screen. One of the lessons of yesterday is people who say that they're undecided probably aren't really undecided. But judging by that, it seemed like whenever the candidates went negative on each other, those lines went down, and particularly among women. Now, I don't, but you know, this is a standard complaint from voters. Oh, I don't like negative attacks, and yet campaigns keep using them because they work. So I don't know if this is a genuine disapproval of negative attacks or whether this is a sense that voters have been conditioned that you're not supposed to say that you like negative attacks and you like seeing, you know, candidates go after each other. But what's kind of fascinating is this, just the sense that this might have been just the wrong tone. Particularly early on, there was this one exchange between, you know, Romney and Obama that got really heated. And, you know, I joked that it looked like Candy Crowley had gone out for a snack at that point, because they're just, you know, for a couple of minutes, they just kept, you know, kind of just sniping at each other. I think, you know, the lines went straight down on that chart. And I get, you know, a lot of people, the reaction on Twitter is like, wow, this is getting awkward. You don't want to have your most contentious and fiery exchange in the town hall format. So we'll see if that ends up hurting either one of them. I have a hard time believing that, you know, people would come out of the saying one candidate was way more negative than the other. And if, you know, because Obama has built himself on this nice guy image, there's one more reason I don't see Obama getting a grand surge out of last night's performance.
Romney has some challenges heading into Monday. He's obviously more comfortable talking about the economy than foreign affairs, but there's a lot of different areas of foreign policy that you can tie back to the economy. And of course, he's going to have a golden opportunity to correct his Libya response, and I'm sure that will take up a much larger portion of the debate. It took up way more of the vice presidential debate than it did of the town hall style last night. So I think overall we're looking at a race that doesn't change much as of this. You know, you look at how people react to the polls, Jim. It just shows you how bad Obama was in the first debate, that he lost the snap polls by 40-plus points, where in this one where he actually bothered to show up, it's pretty much even. And overall, some folks gave him a slight edge. So we'll see what happens next Monday. We've gotten pretty much the same Mitt Romney two times. We've gotten two very different Barack Obamas. So we'll see if he has a third incarnation that shows up on Monday.
Yeah, one last point to make out about the next debate coming up on Monday. The Commission on Presidential Debates, we have a lot of bones to pick with them. We have a lot of arguments to observe and point out and say that this was questionable, that was questionable. I am really left questioning, Greg, the decision to have a debate opposite Monday Night Football.
That's a good point.
Here's an easy joke about the Bears are playing. Isn't it really unfair to the president to be holding a debate while the Chicago Bears are playing? But it really straight, you know, my guess is, you know, I'd be surprised. I think my guess is that the audience for tonight, for last night's, will be a little smaller than the first one, which was, you know, a record around 70 million. But I wouldn't be surprised if the debate for the audience for the next one is pretty small. I mean, there's a certain argument to say that last night was the last real chance to make your case before a really big audience. The other thing I had said on Twitter, that a whole bunch of people, that some people had objected to, I said, look, up against Monday Night Football, you're going to have fewer men watching, and up, you know, having the debate all about foreign policy, you're going to have fewer women watching. And a couple of women took exception to that. But my point with that is not to say there are no women in the world who care about foreign policy. My point is that, you know, by and large, women voters are much more interested in the economy and jobs and you know, cost of living and, you know, domestic issues. You know, anyone who's taking pen to paper to write in fury, I mean domestic as in non-international. I don't mean domestic as in household issues. I'd be very curious to see what the numbers are for that one. I think we may have actually seen kind of the peak of people's tuning into these debates. If you're a Democrat, that probably should make you a little bit nervous. But we will see what happens out of this. But I think because Romney didn't hurt himself last night, it's very hard to see an enormous change in the trajectory of these two candidates, and that's pretty darn good news for Mitt Romney.
Yeah, should be. And if Bob Schieffer is interested in overall fairness from the all four presidential debates, Mitt Romney should get a 10-minute closing statement, which I don't think is going to
be worthwhile. Also, Greg, I'd point out that Bob Schieffer could end every question to the president with "you blithering idiot," and it would still be relatively balanced out from the other preceding three debates. So.
That'd be fun to see. That might get me to tune in over the Bears game, but we'll find out. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks so much for being with us, and join us again on Thursday for the next edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.